and welcome to Symphonies and Snacks, a show where usually we talk about contemporary classical music and make puns around the composers' names. But this week is our Eurovision special. I'm Lucy Ann Harrison, and those were some of the opening of ABBA's fantastic Euro entry that put them on the map, Waterloo. With me this week is composer, teacher, all-around good guy, Jono Firth. Hi, Jono.
Hi, Lucy.
So, normally my guest is someone who isn't from the music world and we talk about contemporary classical music, but this week I thought, since we're doing pop music, I would have Jono on, and we, because he is, yeah, because Jono is more of the avant-garde variety, and we're going to talk about sequins and dodgy dancing and pop music. That makes sense.
Yeah, I know about one out of three of those things, I think. A little
the
bit.
The sequins.
Yeah, definitely the sequins. Yeah, not the dodgy dancing or the pop music.
Maybe this week we're actually sequins and snacks.
Sequins and snacks, yeah.
Sequins and snacks. I should have come up with that earlier.
Yeah, change it.
So, Jono, normally I introduce all my guests with a survey so that we can find out about them. I'm going to do the same this week. I can never remember which questions I've done week to week, so it's always different. Jono, your favourite Eurovision memory?
My favourite Eurovision memory? Well, my first ever Eurovision was 2003. I'd only just moved to this country from Australia, where I'm originally from. And I remember Finland won with Lordi and Hard Rock Hallelujah.
Hard Rock Hallelujah?
Yeah, but my big memory, which I really loved that year, was Lithuania did a song called We Are the Winners of Eurovision, which...
Oh, I voted for them.
there was a little bit of hubris involved there, I think, but they pronounced it We Are the Wieners of Eurovision, and that has just stuck with me over more than a decade of Eurovision. So, yeah, probably my favourite memory, right back to my very first exposure.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The Wieners. Wow. I like the tone that you've set already here.
Yeah.
Question number two. This is a question I like to ask people. What's the best thing you've ever seen on public transport?
Best thing I've ever seen on public transport?
Yeah.
I don't know. This probably won't be as much fun, but someone reading exactly the same rather obscure heavy fantasy book that I was reading at the same time. You know, sort of had a sort of nerd-to-nerd moment when we met eyes and like, yeah, you know.
Was it a man or a woman?
It was another guy, yeah.
Oh.
It was a very sort of nerdy, bromantic moment, so.
Because that could have been, like, a rom-com meet-cute.
It could have been a meet-cute, yeah. I mean, I don't know about him. I don't personally swing that way, but, you know, could be convinced, I guess.
Based on that book. Question number three. Cake or death?
Cake or death?
Yeah.
Cake.
Yep. That's normally the way that goes.
Yeah, every time.
Yep. Question number four, since you are a muso nerd, like me, what is the piece that got you into contemporary art music, since that's what normally this podcast is about?
I guess I was first exposed to that sort of music doing A-level music, and I had a really good teacher who was interested in it. But I think I had a certain amount of reticence towards it early on. I remember listening to one of Berio's weird vocal things and not really connecting with it. And so although I'm really not listening to much music by this guy at the moment, Steve Reich and Come Out to Show Them, she played it to us for a 40-minute lesson, and we just listened and listened and listened. And it's just this piece where... It's a stereo track, and the same thing gets gradually out of phase over a very, 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 very long time.
Your teacher had guts.
That changed my opinion completely. It was just sort of like a really trippy experience, and you know, when you're in year 12, you think you're quite cool, and you're quite like, yeah, trippy experiences. That's like cool points, so yeah.
Awesome. I got into it based on a book by Paul Morley, which is called Words and Music.
Okay.
I've lent my copy out, which I don't normally do because I hold it very dear to me, but it's a piece that The book is comparing Kylie Minogue, Can't Get You Out of My Head, fellow Aussie, to Alvin Lucier's I'm Sitting in a Room.
I believe I've even heard you talk about this previously, so
I talk about it a lot, but they sit together on a car journey and it's their journey through and it's like stream of consciousness. And I read it at 14.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's how people get into it. That's how they get you. Question number five, which will be the last one. What is your earliest musical memory?
My earliest musical memory. Well, when I was 5 or 6, I was at primary school in South Africa at the time, actually. And I joined the recorder ensemble, and I remember learning how to read C, B, and G on the recorder. No,
B
yeah,
A and
C, B, A, and G. Those top four. And we learnt to play "Mary Had a Little Lamb," which I think only needs B, A, and G, but we learnt C at the same time for some reason. Because there's another piece which was like the extension piece, which had a C in it as well. I can't remember what it was, but yeah.
Did
So,
you not do JoJo?
what's JoJo?
In the UK, everyone who, well, it used to be that everyone who learnt the recorders learnt from a book called Recorder from the Beginning by John Pitt. And there's a piece in it that goes, Joe stumped his toe on the way to Mexico.
No,
Coming back, he broke his back,
in South
sliding
Africa
down
in
the rambling track.
1994, things were a little bit, I guess, more restricted. This is well, 95 probably. It's just after Mandela came to power.
Oh, fair enough. You
So,
wouldn't be singing about people on their way to Mexico.
no, I learned "Mary Had a Little Lamb." We didn't have a book. Our teacher wrote it all out by hand for us. So, dedication.
Wow, yeah, cool. I feel now we know each other a bit better. Well, I know you quite
We
well.
know each other quite well anyway.
Yeah, Jono and I went to university together. We were at Durham where we did our bachelor's and our master's.
Because we're cool like that.
We're very cool. We had like a composer's circle. We would go and hang around in Greggs and eat sausage rolls.
And compose. Well, no, talk about composing.
Talk about composing. In Greg's.
Or weird Italian coffee shops sometimes.
Oh, yes, there's a great Italian coffee shop.
Yeah, the coffee shop is great. The people who own it are odd.
You're only saying that because if you walk in, they assume everyone who walks in is a couple.
Or on drugs, as I recall. Not they assume you're on drugs, not that you are on drugs.
Well, to put that in context, we had someone with us who had flapjacks in a container that he was passing around very stealthily because it was food not bought at the cafe, and they assumed that that was space coke, I think.
Hash brownies, yeah.
Yeah, so he brought that one on himself.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
I might cut the drug references there. I don't know, they might stay in. Might make me seem edgier than
Have
someone who stays in, making Eurovision podcasts.
I'm on the other end of this conversation.
So we were at Durham, so we have very similar musical backgrounds, but we took it different ways. So what Jono, what you do is I've written down generative computer music.
That would be a sort of overarching term for what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm so
Can you
my
explain what that means?
yes, happily. How long do you have? No, my interests are in creating sort of musical environments where during the real time performance situation, a computer is generating new musical material, which is not sounded by the computer. It's like printing music for the players to play in real time, based on what it hears from the players or any other sort of, I don't know, inputs that I decide to feed into it. So that sort of summarizes my aim, which is
Gosh,
quite.
sounds like Eurovision started already there.
Are
Where
you?
you are?
You're hearing the background noise. I have rather loud
Yep.
housemates who don't speak much English, so it's hard to tell them to turn the radio down.
Just for complete transparency here, we are recording remotely via Skype, but I feel this brings us some Eurovision authenticity. It's like we're doing the results section.
Do you want me to have like a really massive delay when I speak and then to be like, "Hello, Lucy! Hello
Yes.
from Skopje!" Oh, that might have clipped for you, sorry.
No worries. I would like you to make terrible, terrible jokes, and then not answer what you've been asked.
Yeah, definitely.
And that will bring make this really
Do you know what?
authentic.
I will speak in French and completely ignore your English. I don't know any French, so that falls flat.
Your composition. So basically, there's a computer algorithm, am I right?
Yep, that would be correct. Using a computer package called Max MSP for people who are interested. I designed these.
Which was created at the EarCam, founded by Pierre Boulez, who we talked about in episode two. Look at that for
Correct.
continuity.
Yep. So it's been going for a long time, Max, and it's grown over the years. And basically, Max is a thing where you can put sound in the top, and then get the computer to listen to it and do various things with it, or make various decisions based upon it. And I go down the route of making various decisions based upon it. So I do sound in, but not sound out, if you see what I mean. What comes out the other end is normally some more instructions to the performers rather than altered sound.
So you use actual performers.
I like to have live performers with real acoustic instruments. Yeah, that's part of my, this goes so quite pretentious, my artistic philosophy or something like that, yeah.
I have kind of gone, I don't want real people.
People make a mess of the music, don't they? They never get it right.
Exactly. What I do more is, I've never actually said on the show what I do with my
Well, you
composition.
should tell your listeners.
I do interactive sound design. So those kind of things where you do something and the sound reacts. So kind of large scale things that are placed within art galleries, open spaces, that kind of stuff.
I mean, arguably, you still need people more than someone like Trevor Wishart, who writes tape music and you hit play and the music happens. You need people to interact with the sound.
You're hitting all our past references, Trevor
Yeah,
Wishart, episode three.
but the with you, the sound needs a person to set it going. It's just the person then doesn't take any control of the sound, more or less. Yeah, I
Well,
think.
it depends on the piece.
I
There's
think
a lot of fun stuff you can do.
on the spectrum, you still have soft biological components involved in your music.
Just in a different way.
In a different way.
I don't really have instruments.
No.
That's where it's different.
That's where we divide.
So let's talk about Eurovision,
Yay,
because that's what we're
Eurovision.
here to talk about. I'm really excited about Eurovision. I
I
love
am
Eurovision.
still massively disappointed that the Netherlands didn't win last year. I'm sorry, but that was a travesty. Well, I know it was a good song that won, but I think the Netherlands had the best song.
I can't remember their song.
It was a fantastic sort of country and western. It wasn't a ballad, but it was just
Oh,
really
it was a guy
beautiful.
in the guitar.
Guy with a guitar and a girl with a guitar singing on like a microphone facing each other, and they didn't do a big fancy staging, and they had a double bass on stage, and it was really beautiful. I still listen to it sometimes. It's a song I actually like it as a song, not just as a sort of Eurovision thing. That's how good I thought it was. I thought personally it was too good for Eurovision, given that last year also featured Poland with half-naked women dancing around.
I think Finland should have won last
Well,
year.
I vote for Finland every year just because I think Finland are cool, but
Was it Finland? They looked like the Wiggles.
yes, and let's say Bye to Prejudice or something like that. It was
Yeah,
brilliant.
yeah.
Yeah, I really liked that. Sort of pop punk.
Yeah, it was great. It was kind of it got a bit okay go at one point.
Oh yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, I'm stretching my
Yeah.
mind back to that one. I haven't watched it since, I think. I remember Italy being quite good last year, but because it wasn't a ballad, it was sort of a dance house style track, but with quite a nice tune.
So what I'm getting from this is that despite not being in the UK until 2003, you really, really love Eurovision.
Hey, so that first Eurovision experience where Lordi won, that like turned me on to Eurovision straight away, and I was like, this is awesome. I've got to watch this every year. And so every time May comes around, and it used to stick in my head that it's around about when the FA Cup final is Eurovision, and Eurovision's probably the one I'd rather watch, although I'm brought up in a quite sporting interested household, so
Wow.
yeah.
And how do you feel that, as an Aussie, how do you feel that Australia are now able to enter.
I am proud to be a European now. No, I think it's an interesting decision. I understand why they've gone for it. The thing that might be an issue is that we're very short odds to win it now. So we might have to come back next year as well.
Just find it very odd. You're not European.
Yeah, but neither are Morocco and Israel, only barely.
I object to all of them.
Yeah. Morocco haven't been in for years. Israel are in
Not
every
called
year.
World Vision.
No, but to be fair, the rules for being in Eurovision isn't that you are part of Europe. It's that you have a TV company which is part of the European Broadcasting Union.
Is that the rule?
That's the rule, yeah.
Wow, I've been labouring under a misapprehension all these
Yeah,
years.
and Australia have got in not because we're part of the EBU, because we're a guest entry, but because the TV channel in Australia, SBS, have been showing Eurovision in Australia for a long time, and there is a bit of a cult following for it in Australia, which I wasn't aware of until I came here. I'd never come across it before. But the
Well,
thing
you
is,
have actually, some of the UK entries in the past have been actually Australian.
I believe that's true, yes. I think.
I have memories of Gina G. She
Yeah.
Aussie?
Yes, that rings a bell. The thing
Creator of
about
such classics as Ooh Ah, Just a Little Bit.
Australians who do well in the UK is that normally they don't tend to be so well known in Australia. Perhaps Kylie being the big exception, but people like Jason Donovan and that, he's not really heard of in Australia.
What?
Yeah, and he's massive over here. And until his arrest, you could say the same for Rolf Harris. He wasn't ever that popular in Australia to start with. So, and he's even less popular these days. But at least more people have heard his name, hey?
Wow, I did not expect this to go there.
Sorry, I was
That's
trying to be tactful with it, just saying that Australians who make it big in the UK often do so because they leave Australia behind.
I think it's a fair enough point. What about the likes of, say, Russell Crowe?
I'm looking at the music industry, really. I think Russell Crowe made it big in Hollywood rather than in the UK. And if you make it big in Hollywood, you make it big all around the world.
Okay. And Isla Fisher. You guys have heard of her.
I don't know who that is.
Apparently not. She's an actress. She was in Wedding Crashers and oh, she's in so much. Confessions of a Shopaholic. She originally started in Home and Away.
Okay.
She's married to Sacha Baron Cohen.
It's amazing how many Australian actors did start in Neighbours or Home and Away. Yeah. Just
Yeah, is
considering
that
the.
just where you breed them?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't really ever watch either of them, but and considering, the sort of production value on them and everything, it's. They do seem to pick up a lot of talent. I mean, they pick up a lot of not talent as well. Yeah. I guess it's sort of selection bias. We see one or two good people come out of them. I think they must be doing really well, but there's 30 or 40 actors on there who never go anywhere, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Deep analysis.
Gina G definitely entered for us, and I think she's Aussie. And
Yeah.
there's been a few other people.
I have a feeling people talked about Delta Goodrem entering for the UK a few years back. I don't think it came to anything, but.
No, and who's the really famous person who's entered for a different nation? Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Has she entered for France?
Yeah, that rings a bell. Although France won't enter you unless you sing in French.
Well, she does sing in
Well,
French.
there you go then.
Originally, she used to sing almost entirely in French. I remember someone doing their French coursework at A level on Celine Dion.
Fair
Yeah.
enough. I bow to your superior Celine knowledge.
Oh, it's not intentional. I did mine on Debussy, which I feel was a much better choice.
Yeah. Debussy's an interesting character.
I don't think I really got into that.
No?
I
Okay.
spent yesterday annoying somebody by giving them Composer of the Week updates on Berlioz. Every now and again, I just send them a message with, "One time, Berlioz plotted the murder of someone who'd annoyed him. He bought a, what did he do? He bought a wig for the occasion, and then he decided that it wasn't the best of use of his resources."
Yeah.
Oh, Berlioz.
Berlioz.
Unfortunately, beyond the scope of Symphonies and Snacks, that's definitely not modern music.
No. Would Debussy sneak in?
No,
No, it's
I'm
probably too
going
early.
1940 onwards.
An interesting cut-off point. So you can get the second Viennese school in there, and then all the sort of stuff that comes out of that.
So I could get Messiaen in, basically.
Yeah, Messiaen's in the 50s and 60s as well, so.
Yeah. It kind of felt like I needed to draw a line somewhere, and I thought World War II.
40, yeah, 45 is a good starting point.
Yeah. Because otherwise, you could keep on, you could spend ages working around where modern music starts.
It's a bit of a catch-all term. There's such a fragmentation in music from sort of 1920 onwards, so.
Yeah. Should we talk about the entries that we've got?
Eurovision, yeah, that's what we're here to talk about today.
We're here to talk about Eurovision. Should we talk about the UK entry is
Still in Love with You.
by Electro Velvet.
Yeah, who I believe one of them was on The Voice, the girl, and no one turned around for her. And the guy is in a Led Zeppelin tribute act or something like that.
Whoa. I just have notes on the piece.
Bound to get sneezes or nasty diseases. Take good care when I'm not there. I'm still in love with you. While I'm on vacation, you be a good patient. Take your medication.
What do you think of it?
I've had a listen and I have watched the video as well. I can see what they're going for. Props for not being a ballad. That's my first thing about Eurovision songs. There's too many
Too many
ballads,
ballads.
so I like a
Yeah.
song that's not a ballad. I was all into the sort of swing, sort of 1920s thing they had going on. I mean, 1920s in the video. The music on its own doesn't suggest necessarily the 20s.
Well, part of the swing that they're using was actually, oh, I'm gonna go really geeky here. It's actually kind of Stefan Grappelli type stuff, so it wouldn't be 20s.
No, they had sort of 20s clothes in the video, but
Stefan
with
Grappelli being a famous jazz violinist,
yeah.
just for people who don't know, want to know.
Yeah, but with like 40s and 50s microphones, I noticed with my music tech head on. And then it broke down into this weird, just briefly, this weird sort of electro dance feel, and then came back to the swing again, which I didn't quite get.
Oh, yeah,
These
the
synthesizers
trumpet.
come in for 30 seconds and then they're gone again, and it's all trumpets and sort of swing drums on with the brushes and
And
walking
in the
bass and.
music video, at that point, they look like they're in Tron.
Yes, it all goes. What's the word? They've all got like neon colours on and ultraviolet lights and stuff. It's there, and it happens a couple of times in the music. It does it. I mean, the song. Probably the thing I should say about it is it's interesting, but I listened to it about 20 minutes ago and I couldn't hum you any of it.
My kind of things was it felt like they were trying to cash in on the Yolanda Be Cool, We Know Speak Americano
Yeah, that.
type vibe.
That is definitely something that I agree with you on, although not saying it had occurred to me. I think you're bang on.
And I kind of think there are other songs that do it better. So there's a version of it, Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who the dance mix is, but it was done on a Heineken advert.
Oh, I do remember that advert, and it was very catchy advert just
And
because
it's
of the
the
music.
Louis Armstrong Don't Mean a Thing, and it's got some, oh, I'm going to sound really ridiculous, it's got some fit clarinet playing in it.
Are people
I
aware
love,
of your clarinet love?
yeah, it's got some fit clarinet playing, and it's from the Blue Summit recording of It Don't Mean a Thing.
That is very geeky knowledge.
Well, I went out and bought the original album based on the dance remix, which I'm sure isn't how most people would do it. So that's kind of a better version of what they're trying to do.
Yeah. My feeling about the UK
Yeah.
is I don't think it's. I think it's a nice song. I don't think it's a hugely catchy song. There, you're also very early in the running order, and I have a feeling people won't remember you when it comes to the voting.
Okay.
Sad to
I
say.
think, oh, I have a big question, which is a point to moot. I'm not sure I have an answer. There is a Louis Armstrong scat impression
Yes, which I thought was.
Halfway through.
It was odd. I don't think this is a guy who is used to doing scat, given he's from a Led Zeppelin tribute act. If my information is correct, I might just check that.
My question about that is, have they opened the racist door a bit? Is the racist door slightly ajar
I mean,
based on that?
is it definitely Louis Armstrong scat? It is a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, he does the voice. But
I don't
it's
know.
very hard to debate when you're white.
I've just double checked. It wasn't a Led Zeppelin tribute act, it's a Rolling Stones tribute act.
He's in a Rolling Stones tribute.
Yeah, the Rolling Clones apparently.
Oh,
Yeah, it's a good
what a
name.
great
It's a
name.
good name. Yeah, but coming
Do you
back
know
to you.
tribute act names? I've spent some friends of mine, we spent a whole day on Facebook coming up with tribute band names.
It's very good. It's very good.
But the best one that we used to come and play in Durham sometimes was definitely might be Oasis.
Yeah. That's quite good. I try. There's one that's now just gone out of my head. It'll come back to me in like half an hour or so, and I'll say, "Oh, I should have said it then."
It's an art.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Louis Armstrong scat bit. Yeah. No, that.
it just didn't sit right with
It
me.
felt odd. It felt like he wasn't comfortable doing it either. I'll be interested to see how he does it on the live show.
What I feel with this song is it's going to turn up on Strictly at some point in the future.
Just
Someone
because
is going to do a Charleston to it.
it looked like it was already on Strictly in the music video. It looked like it was filmed in the Strictly dance studio, wherever they do it, with all the Strictly pro dancers dancing in front of it. That's what the music video looked like.
Yes, maybe that's what they were aiming for.
Yeah, so they're aiming for the UK vote for the people who can't vote for them.
Yeah, does Strictly show in other countries?
I think other countries have syndicated versions of it, like the Dancing with the Stars format.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars. That's not a
Yeah.
snappy name.
No. I think
They
you.
don't have Baz Luhrmann references in their title.
No. But there you go. It's nice. It's different to a lot of Eurovision stuff. It will probably get some votes. I don't think it's going to win.
What do you think the maximum points are going to be for this?
Depends how nice Malta are feeling, really, isn't it? Because
Is it Malta that votes for the UK?
Malta, in my memory, are the ones who tend to give you 10 points.
Do you know what I always kind of feel like?
Yeah.
Ireland should give us more.
Yeah, but half of Ireland hates you.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about. Yeah, I don't have much love for this song.
No.
What do you think was the last? Well, you might not know going back that far. The last great UK entry.
I do not remember a great UK entry in my time watching Eurovision.
I think our last win was Katrina and the Waves.
This is before my time, yeah.
Since then, we've had some other. What have we tried to pull? We've tried to
There was
go.
the Bin Man, I remember him. I don't remember his song.
There was Daz Sampson
Yeah.
with
Was
the
with the
Creepy Schoolgirls.
dancing schoolgirls. There was the sort of bubblegum pop band who were big in Japan who did something about aeroplanes and they were all dressed as air
We're
hostesses and
flying the
that's the
flag.
one. Yeah. There was Engelbert, obviously, last year. Was it Engelbert Humperdinck?
Engelbert Humperdinck, we've entered Bonnie Tyler, we've entered Blue.
Yeah.
Andrew Lloyd Webber has got up there.
Yeah. I just
Whatever
feel
happens, we are not winning. If we can put, Andrew
this.
Lloyd Webber up on stage and not win the best song, we are
We.
not going to win.
I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber is extremely good at stealing the good parts of other people's songs, so.
How rude! I don't know what to do with that.
Take
I
it
don't
out
know
and
how I can
edit.
do something similar to you.
No, I'm being facetious, of course.
I like Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I once saw a very witty little comedy sketch called "How Do You Write a Hit Musical, Steal It From Somebody Else," which referenced a lot of Lloyd Webber songs.
I feel that mostly he steals from himself.
Yeah, it's a fair comment, I think. I
But
I've got
also,
more into
Evita
musicals than I
is
used to.
stunningly difficult. And I've played in a pit band for Jesus Christ Superstar, and my God, those parts are hard.
I'm not saying it's unmusical. When I say steal it from somebody else, also, I'm not referencing actually other musical writers. I think he takes a lot of things from classical music and opera and stuff like that. So that's fair enough. It's interesting. I've actually mellowed, if you remember me from 4 years back, Lucy, I've actually mellowed a lot on my musical theatre stats in recent years. I've
I
come
don't
round to
remember
it
what your
more.
stance was. Was it just that it's all bad?
Not that it's all bad, just that I didn't want to hear any of it. But I actually do teach a bit of musical theatre now. I've had to.
Was it that turned you around? Was it Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog?
It wasn't Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog
By
because
Joss Whedon.
I was very much into Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog when it first came out, and in my first year at university, watched it constantly for about a week, as I recall. No, I don't know. I just started watching it and being more open-minded because I was always trying to say, well, I'm quite open-minded about music. And then I thought, well, that means I have to listen to this sort of stuff and be fair rather than just saying, there, without giving it a go. And it turned out that some of it's quite good. And some of it is there as well.
I bet you're a Sondheim fan.
I don't know. I'm not a geek on it yet. I just like some of it.
I'm a massive geek. I
I'll tell
take
you what
myself
I.
to the West End.
What I don't want to hear again anytime soon. I've just, with some of my students, been working on like a little showcase, and they did Seasons of Love from Rent, and I never want to hear that song for the next year and a half. I'm just tired of it. I can't cope with it anymore.
I remember the alto part is quite boring.
I played the piano part, and it's the same four bars, round and round and round and round and round a lot.
Oh, of course it goes da da
Da
da
da
da
da.
da
Yeah.
da da.
And the
Yeah.
second time, it's actually the same bar, but it finishes on the relative minor.
Da
Ooh,
da da.
yeah, brilliant, brilliant.
It's very clever.
Is good. I mean, we also did Hello from Book of Mormon, and that was a lot of fun. But the girls had a hard time learning it because it's such a complex piece.
No comment on them being girls there.
It's a course which is open to everybody. But as it happens, 99% of my class are girls.
Oh no, I meant they didn't find it hard because they're girls. It just means that's your
Oh
class.
yes, sorry. I didn't even realize that would be context. No, they just struggled with it because it's a complex piece of music.
Yeah. Oh no, it is. Do you
Anybody would
know?
have struggled with it.
I absolutely love musical theatre.
Yeah, I've come much more round to it. I want to go
My
see more of it.
favourite thing is One Day More in Les Mis, because the first time I heard it, I just kind of went, that's so incredibly clever.
Oh, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Just all the themes for all the main characters in one piece overlocking with each other.
Yeah, you realise how thoroughly through composed Les Mis is, where, just in that piece when everything works in one go.
It's also my get psyched music.
Is it?
Yeah, I play it before job interviews
I
and
tend
important things.
to go actually from the same musical, but for. Is it the next number along? Do you hear the people sing? That's quite close afterwards, and that really
That's quite
gets
rousing.
my pulse pumping, gets my sort of revolutionary fervour up.
Yeah.
Or
Oh, we've wandered again.
Red and Black. We have wandered off Eurovision, but in an interesting way.
In an interesting way, we got there via the attempts that the UK have had to get people back on side.
So this is my thought on that. I feel like the UK doesn't take Eurovision as seriously as a lot of other countries.
We sent Engelbert. What more do you want?
I think the whole idea of Eurovision and how it's perceived in the UK is summed up by the fact that we have a comedy commentator on the TV in this country. We take it as a joke, and so the acts we send almost reflect that.
But just think how boring the show would be if you didn't have
Oh.
Graham Norton or previously Terry Wogan
Yeah,
doing that.
the show is fantastically more fun because we have someone who points out the ridiculousness of it all. But I think that attitude then rolls over into the way, well, I say we, the UK, select our acts.
Well, yeah, it's a fair point, but at the same time,
I wouldn't get rid of the commentary, though. It's why we watch the show, isn't it? Especially at the voting bit. nothing better than an acerbic comment in an Irish accent for either generation, just sort of saying, "Well, we never saw that coming, did we?"
What I'm always confused by is we have the UK has exported some of the world's best pop music. Oh, there's like a gangster drive-by going on outside my window.
Get down.
Oh, it's better than it was before. There was a while where every night at the same time someone would drive past playing Blurred Lines.
Well, I mean, they might not be allowed to do that anymore. So,
Couldn't have happened to a nicer man.
Oh no, definitely. And Pharrell Williams upholding his feminist image in that song as well, I think, very well.
Anyway,
Moving back onto Eurovision again.
so the UK exports some of the world's best pop music. We currently have One Direction out there, minus whichever one they're crying about having
Yeah,
left.
who are three quarters British. Yep.
Who else have we got?
Take
What,
that.
Robbie Williams, Take That. I went to see S Club at the weekend.
So best sort of cheesy pop bands out there.
Yeah. So why can we not do better at a competition that is all cheesy pop music?
Do you know what? If we sent One Direction, we would
They
win.
wouldn't win.
No, we would. We would win.
No, because no one likes us.
No, but people like One Direction.
Does the One Direction love, do directioners hold more sway than the political thing of people hating the UK?
That's interesting. There's only one way to find that out, and that
And
is to
that's
do a
to
scientific experiment by sending someone like One Direction as the UK's entrant. I doubt they'd do it. I think because of the way we've selected acts over the last decade or so, I think we would struggle to send our big names these days. They don't want to do it. I don't know. I think there may be. We need to sort of gradually build back up to it.
I reckon we could get Robbie Williams.
You reckon we could get Robbie Williams?
Yeah, Europe loves Robbie.
He might go for it. He needs another Angels. He hasn't had one a hit that big. He needs another one.
Well, I mean, the man, what, vined his child's birth. He'd go on Eurovision.
Yeah. He'd do well on Eurovision. He's the right sort of thing, isn't he?
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, right sort of thing. That sounds horrible, but you understand my sentiment, I think.
He's a good performer.
Yeah, and he has the music that is catchy and would play well at Eurovision.
Yes.
And he's definitely British. Comes from Stoke.
He does indeed come from Stoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall we move on from the UK entry?
Yeah. Well, so shall we go to my country?
So,
I've been
since we have an Aussie here, since it's the first year of Australia being,
first and probably only.
it's a novelty year. We've
Yeah.
got Australia in there, it making for a very weird looking Europe.
Special guest entry.
So we're going to discuss the Australian entry, which is Guy Sebastian
Guy Sebastian, great name.
with Tonight Again.
Oh, everyone's got their problems. There's always something on your mind. Oh, but tonight we ain't gotta solve them. For now, let's leave them all behind. Oh, do what you want, do what you want. Do what you want, do what you want. Do what you want, do what you want. Oh, get on it, ooh, get on it.
Yeah, so Guy Sebastian, he's actually quite a big name in Australia.
Is he?
Yeah, he's very, very well known. He won Australian Idol about 2003, 2004, something like that. Whole string of albums in the charts, something like 10, 12 number one singles on the Australian charts. He's now a judge on the Australian version of X Factor as well, so he's pretty big news down under.
Oh, so they've basically done like sending oh, what's his face?
I know exactly who. No, I've not got a clue.
Ollie Mers.
Yeah. Yes, that would it would be like sending Ollie Murs. Almost.
Okay.
Yeah.
That puts him in context a bit.
Yeah. He that's a very good analogy. He's an Australian Olly Murs, except he's not made it in America very much, I don't think. But I understand he is quite popular in Europe, and Australia have taken. So here's the thing about Australia and competition. We like to win them.
I have recognized that from other competitions that you're involved in.
I recall when I was living in Australia, I was 11, 12, or something like that. I was aware of the sport of darts. It was something that you didn't take too seriously. It was guys a little bit drunk throwing pointy things at some cork, which wasn't that far away. And that was the opinion of, I would say, the majority of Australians to darts. Until one year, an Australian reached the final of the World Dart Championships. I don't know which one, PDA, BDO, something like that. I wasn't really au fait with it. All I knew was that on the news, there was an Australian and he'd got through the semi-final and he was in the final of some darts competition. And suddenly everyone in Australia was like, yeah, darts, proper sport. And we've got an Aussie there who's going to win it. And we are going to be behind him all the way. So you put an Australian in a tournament and we will be there waving the flags and the inflatable kangaroos and with the sort of visible sunscreen on and the horrible 70s kitsch gear. And so that's sort of the attitude that has taken over in Australia with regards to Eurovision as well. Eurovision is now a sporting competition, and Australia likes to win sporting competitions.
So, right, then why have you entered this song?
Okay, this song. Do you know,
Sorry,
have you
I
listened to
shall.
this song?
I
Listen
have.
to. What I suggest you do is listen to Radio 1 in about. Between about 5 and 7 in the afternoon. And after a song that's finished on Radio 1, just stop it and play this song and tell me if it doesn't fit in.
Yeah, I was being completely snobby there, and
Okay.
I don't. I'm not the Radio 1 sort. This music is not.
No.
That sounds really snobby as well. I really like pop music, but I listen to six music because I like to have a
Variety?
range. Yeah,
Yeah.
a range of music. And you did play Shake It Off the other week, and that made my day.
I drive to work at the moment and I don't have a digital radio in my car, and so I have the choice of one or two if I want to listen to a BBC station. I tend to listen to two in the morning and one on the way home, so I to try and get the same range.
Yeah. So I found this piece like it was all right. I've written down it sounds like Daniel Merriweather.
It's a fair
And I
comment.
don't know if anyone remembers Daniel Merriweather because this took me a while to find it. I'm gonna have to search him again.
I would say that it's a piece of upbeat dance-inspired pop music, which you could very easily see being remixed into some harder sort of club-style dancing house sort of thing. Or at the same time, it's very radio play friendly.
So,
It's got a big brass section on it. It's not a
yeah.
ballad again, so plus point there. And the other
Yeah.
thing about it is that since he was invited and was picked as Australia's entry, Guy Sebastian is basically touring Europe playing this piece on a massive charm offensive.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah,
So Daniel Merriweather was the one who Mark Ronson used for the vocals in Stop Me, which was their his
that is
cover of The
going
Smiths.
back a little bit on the Mark Ronson discography.
It's going back to 2007,
Yeah.
I've just seen.
That's when people
So
didn't realize
I was
Mark
in
Ronson was
sixth
Mark
form.
Ronson and he was just some producer who collaborated with people from time to time.
Yeah. So it's it, he I felt he had the same kind of vocal quality.
Okay. Look, it's very mainstream. I think I mean, where are we in the running order? We're sort of halfway through. So I think you do well if you have a good song towards the end. That's my feeling. Unless you've got like an absolute belter, or you're like that Norwegian violinist who was basically picked to win a few years back.
Daniel Rybak.
That's the one, yeah. The Russian guy who's representing Norway.
He's on my iPod. I play it every now and again.
It's a very mainstream song. Again, I don't think it's got a particularly catchy hook. But I
That's
think.
it. I can't really remember. I remember there was brass. I
Yeah.
remember the video was very serious and in a recording studio.
It was in a recording studio, but at the same time, everyone looked like they were having a good time. It was a live in the studio sort of vibe. And you had Guy Sebastian, you had him in the sort of vocal booth with the proper microphone and pop shield and everything, but you also had him singing into like an SM57, it looked like to me, which was really weird. Just like sort of laying
Just
down a guide
explain
track
what
and
an
stuff.
SM57 is.
It's a simple microphone, but it's almost the microphone you see like on most sort of stages at any level,
So,
except it hasn't got the round bit on the top of it which protects the diaphragm.
SM57s you would use to record, well, I would use to record an instrument that would go very, very loud.
I would use them on, yes, on a, like if I wanted to record an amplifier that's been turned up quite loud, I would use an SM57.
And then there's SM58
Which have a pop shield built into them and are effectively the same thing, almost the same frequency
is a
response.
type of microphone that you generally see people using on stage.
Because you can basically
You can
throw them
whack
around.
them, you can
They
hit
will
them, you can
survive a
throw
nuclear
beer over them.
apocalypse, yeah. They're
Yeah.
indestructible. And they
I
have.
like the thought of the apocalypse, it will be cockroaches
And
and SM58
SM58s.
mics. Oh, so music geek.
Yeah.
This is a completely different vibe to other weeks.
Yeah. So that sort of breaks up with me. Why is he singing into that? It has no pop shield on it. I think yeah. So it was serious but lighthearted at the same time in the video. It's a standard sort of
Do you know
poppy
what would
sort of
have
song.
improved that video?
No.
Muppets.
Well, yeah, but that's just like, do you know what improves? I'm trying to come up
Life.
with something. Life. Muppets.
But I'm only thinking because I've got there from Olly Murs, who released a song with the Muppets.
Oh, brilliant.
There's a version of Dance With Me Tonight that has the Penguins
I've
and Miss Piggy
not
on it.
come across this, but I shall be YouTubing it as soon as we finish this recording.
It's on the soundtrack to the
Brilliant.
Muppet film. Sorry, I've completely derailed
It, well,
it again.
we've done very well at not talking about Eurovision on your Eurovision podcast here.
Well, it's like Jaws. You know, Jaws isn't a film about a shark,
No.
and this isn't a podcast about music.
It's a podcast about snacks and symphonies, obviously. Yeah.
Or sequins and snacks
Sequins
vibe.
and symphonies?
Oh, that would be Liberace.
Sequins and sing-alongs. Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Yeah, I just felt it was a bit. That whole song was just a bit
Enough?
polished.
Yes, no, I get what you're saying. It's a very professional job.
Yeah, but there's not much personality
No.
going with it, and I think that's going to.
Having said previously that Guy Sebastian is a big deal in Australia, I've never been a particular fan of his music. I think it's a bit bland, to be honest.
Yeah, he doesn't sing with the Muppets.
No.
I think in a fight between him and Olly Murs.
Olly Murs has that sort of cheeky, chappy personality going on, which I think Guy Sebastian is lacking.
Yeah.
But at the same time, his name is Guy Sebastian.
Very.
It's just an interesting name, I think.
Olly Murs.
But Ollie's just, Ollie. This guy's called Guy.
That's such an Australian thing. Hi, Guy.
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 Guy
You know that
Sebastian.
guy?
Yeah, I mean, Guy's an annoying name for an Aussie because it's very hard to make a nickname out of it. The normal thing in Australia is you shorten it and then stick an O on the end. Well, it's already as short as it can get, it's one syllable, and Guy-O just doesn't work, I think.
Oh, so that's why you're Jono.
Yeah, basically.
Oh.
Short for Jonathan. With an O on the end.
What? What? This is completely new.
That's how Australia. You listen to. If you watch Australia, the Australian cricket team, and they're chatting to each other. They're all something O. Occasionally a Y, but normally O.
There's a similar
Clarko.
thing in the UK, but it can't be done on a non-explicit rated podcast
Oh, okay, fair enough.
where you just, use your favourite insult and that's someone's nickname.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that happens in Australia as well, but I'm just sort of
Yeah.
the version that's related to their actual name works that way. We'd probably work off his surname for Guy Sebastian, try to do something like Sebzo or something like that.
So what do you think? Maximum points.
For Australia, I think it
I
will.
think the UK is going to peak out at four from places.
You think the UK will pick up four? No, I think the UK will get some votes. I don't think it's a terrible song this year. I think also the fact that there's musical panels judging will mean that the UK picks up some, because I think musically it has some interesting features going for it.
Okay.
I think Australia will probably get a couple of 12s just for the novelty value, to be honest.
Oh,
And
I think Australia will get 10s and 12s.
yeah, we have big immigrant populations in Australia from places like Greece and Malta, so we might give some big numbers to countries like that ourselves as well,
You
since we
think you're
get.
going to vote Greece?
I think Australia may well give 12 points to Greece just based on the diaspora.
Interesting.
Yeah, if we go for cultural voting, which is, there's an argument that Turkey gets a lot of its votes just because it's got people in so many different countries.
Yeah, I can see that. Like if we did by ward in the UK voting, like the election, I think say my area of London would all go Turkey.
Yeah. I think where I live would probably vote Mauritius, but they're not in Europe. Although, they could get a guest entry.
Yeah, anyone can now.
Yeah.
I think this is a time to take a break and talk about our snacks. So Eurovision, how will you be spending Eurovision night?
It's a weird one for me. I'm actually going away. So we are doing Eurovision on Sunday when we get in quite late on Saturday night, and we're going to have a Eurovision party on Sunday. So I'm having a delayed Eurovision with a little bit of a social media blackout on Saturday to try and avoid finding out anything that's gone on. So I'm going away with some friends. I suspect there will be snacks in the sort of crisps and nuts range, nothing too complicated, because
Well,
we'll.
let's plan. I'm going to a Eurovision party. I'm hanging out with episode three guest Rosie Fletcher, and we're at a great Eurovision party. So let's plan our dream pun-based Eurovision feast.
Yay!
Yay! So
Yay!
obviously there will be Conchita-verst.
Oh yes, of course. That would go without saying.
Reigning queen of Eurovision.
Yep.
And then, oh, I'm very proud of some of these.
You've obviously spent some time
So,
working on these.
yeah, I spent my journey home from work working on these. I believe that the UK will have a side plate of petit pois.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Because, mille pois.
Yeah.
Previous hosts have been Terry Wogan Wheels.
Oh dear. And I mean, not even a pun, but are you going to wash it all down with a glass of Buck's Fizz?
Yes, I am.
Don't
And it
have to
will
work
be
too hard for that one.
presented. Well, our act this year is Electro Red Velvet Cake. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's presented by. I'm so pleased with this. Glazed Ham Norton.
Oh dear. I now understand why your Twitter feed has someone sending you endless food puns.
Yeah, that's what the show is. We talk about music and then we take a break to do that.
Some serious punnery going on there.
Wait a sec, I need to check I haven't missed any. Because Glazed Ham Norton, that's the peak of what I can do. Oh, yeah. Our previous entries from the UK have been. Puppets on a bed of string beans. Or poppets on a string.
Okay.
And I
I
can't
like the
really
first one.
think. Bean banger bangers. To go with the Conchita-verst.
Yep.
I'm just
You're
listing things up now.
plumbing some depths of Eurovision which go back beyond my time.
I couldn't think of a decent ABBA one.
Yeah. What did they sing? Waterloo, was it?
It was Waterloo, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Ah, see how we've fallen since Waterloo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite
I'm
literally.
racking my heads here to come up with something for my lovely horse, but
Oh,
I'm
so my
struggling.
genuine plan for tomorrow is for tomorrow, for today, when we're releasing this, is going to be a My Lovely Horse cake.
Oh, brilliant. What, with like with Father Ted on the front or decorated?
It's going to be a Guinness cake that I'm baking because I've got some Guinness left over from a stew.
Does Guinness work well in a cake?
Yeah, I think you can do it in a chocolate cake.
Oh, yeah, no, that would work in a chocolate cake, yeah.
And then I'm going
to
make it
look... Oh, so Guinness is the primary flavour.
I'm going to make it look like Craggy Island, and then I'm just going to stick a plastic horse on top. And that's My Lovely Horse.
I'll tell you what, My Lovely Horse is catchier than a lot of Eurovision songs I've heard. Would have done well.
Yes. Well, which version?
I'm just thinking of the version that was on the actual show.
The one that they find that is playing in the lift and they're going to have to do the original.
Yeah.
My lovely horse running through the field. That's another way I've amused myself this week, is by sending people the lyrics to My Lovely Horse.
I mean, it was a classic Eurovision moment, even if it never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also, to accompany the horse, I've got a small sheep that I'm going to put on. Because
that's not, that's just random animals. You're now just making a cake with animals on it. That's not.
No, because it's small, not far away.
Okay. That's very tenuous.
It's not tenuous, that's classic Father Ted.
It's still tenuous.
Which reminds me, Jedward have been in the Eurovision.
Jedward have been in Eurovision. The Jedward in my mind now, every time they're mentioned, which isn't that often these days, thankfully, or, you know, depends on your point of view, all that comes into my mind is the time where he was dancing, one of them, and he broke his leg when he went for a jump and decided to keep on dancing rather than finishing the song. And they did the whole song with him sort of hobbling around because he'd landed funny and broken his leg, and they just kept dancing. So, you know,
Fair play to him.
Might that's not like their music, but that's professionalism and dedication to his art.
Nice. Not that he injured himself, but that he carried on.
Yeah.
I can't beat that. I played a show for a week on a fractured arm.
On your clarinet?
Yeah.
How does that affect your clarinet playing a fractured arm? Obviously some.
It was the weight-bearing one. Clarinet, there's one arm that takes all the weight of the instrument, and it was that one.
Yeah.
I couldn't really straighten it or bend it much, but... The position that the arm had settled itself in was the exact right position to hold a clarinet.
You need to like clamp it to a stand or something, so you just have to sort of rest your fingers on it.
I just kind of went for it and then went to A&E after the show was done.
Be fine.
Yeah.
I knew a guy who jumped out of an aeroplane, like a sky jump. He didn't just jump out of an aeroplane, had a parachute on. He landed and his leg felt a bit sore, and he walked around it for 2 weeks before he said it's still sore, I'll get it checked out. He'd be walking around on a fractured leg for 2 weeks.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I also broke a finger at softball last year. I didn't break it, someone else broke it. I shouldn't say that, it makes him feel really bad when I do that. But someone kind of winged a ball at me and broke my finger. And I'm very proud that I played the rest of the match.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. And I got a sport injury. And Yay. It's very rare for musicians to have sports injuries because we're all terrified of breaking our fingers.
Well, my piano teacher banned me from ever playing basketball. Basketball is the worst thing for finger injuries, according to him. Never do it.
Oh, netball, yeah.
He never mentioned netball. I did play a bit of netball, a bit of mixed netball. It's not basketball. Bouncing, apparently. And also when you catch it bad and stub all your fingers at once. Which I guess can happen in netball as well.
Well, I think we've discovered as well that, you know, softball seems to be one of the worst ones.
Yeah,
broken fingers
cricket,
and hands.
Cricket's pretty bad on your hands, and I've been playing a bit of that recently.
Because the person who was responsible for throwing the ball at me last year, I do not hold this against him. James, there is no, you know, grudge being held, but he broke his hand in a similar way yesterday.
Oh,
so you're not, bones men soon,
you're
James.
Not suggesting any karmic retribution or anything there?
No.
No.
No, it's just bad luck.
Just what happens sometimes.
It's, you know, just really wanting to win. Yeah. Hope feeling better soon, James. It's James who's responsible for the title of this show. And he very often plays my terrible pun games with me.
Well, brilliant. I don't know you, James, but yeah, get well soon and good work on the punnery.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel he deserves a shout out with his broken hand. Yeah. Those are all the puns I've got. Do you have any you want to?
I mean, I am not a master punner. Come back to me. I might come up with some by the end of the show.
I would like you to just shout them out when you suddenly think of one.
Yeah, and so the very serious thing, pun, pun, pun.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'll be on it.
This is also the point in the show where we bring up my brother, Christopher Harrison, has started a campaign to be a guest on the show.
Right.
He has a hashtag, and he tweets us periodically with hashtag Chrissy Yay.
Okay.
He sends me odd things that he thinks he could do on the show. Film scores has been where he's been going recently.
Forgive me if I'm wrong, but the
Yeah.
idea of this show is for someone who doesn't know much about contemporary music to talk about it. What's his knowledge like on there? I mean, he's related to you.
It's we never talk about it. That
Right.
sounds like we've had a fight and we've agreed never to talk about contemporary music.
Was that just that one piece of Xenakis too many, and now we never talk about it?
We don't talk about Xenakis.
We don't mention Xenakis. Don't mention the X word.
I think it's just growing up, we had different interests. And we didn't. I didn't really get into contemporary music after until after he'd left for university.
Yeah, that would make
Where
sense.
he's. Yeah, and he did a bit of music at primary school, like playing instruments, but it wasn't really his thing, and it became really my thing. And. Well, you might know this with your siblings. When one of you becomes really, really good at something, it tends to be the other one backs off.
Yeah.
Like, you like to make your own space and things.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's just not something we talk about. So my question to all my guests at the moment is, Chrissy Yay or Chrissy Nay?
You know what? I'm all for happy families, so Chrissy Yay.
Okay. He's doing well on these plays.
What's the score?
It's I think it's four Chrissy Yays, one Chrissy Abstain.
One Chrissy abstain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is someone who didn't want to get, which is Rosie last week didn't want to get involved in our sibling fight.
Okay.
Which I thought was fair enough.
Fair enough indeed. Yeah.
Oh. That reminds me of a joke that I was going to steal, and then I forgot to put it into the puns. But I'm
Oh,
going to do
right.
it anyway. The catering, of course, for this event would all come from Iceland.
Oh, of course. Of course. I've
Not
just
my
noticed
joke.
Finland didn't make it through the semi-finals, so I'm now very sad.
Ah. Iceland joke, courtesy of Rosie Fletcher. I was going to pass it off as my own, and then I couldn't do it.
Well,
Yeah.
it's good to acknowledge your sources. It's proper
Yeah.
academic referencing.
Rosie Fletcher, 2015. Yeah. So to kind of round up from today, I want to talk about what I would consider to be the last great Eurovision, UK Eurovision entry.
Okay.
I have said that in a really serious way.
Yep.
So we've won since this. We won with Katrina and the Waves. I don't like that song. I find it a bit meandering. Is it Love Shine a Light?
Yes. I'm gonna say yes. I don't know.
1997, Katrina and the Waves, Love
Yeah,
Shine a Light.
Love Shines a Light.
It holds the record of the highest score per
When it
participating
was
country with
in
an average
Dublin.
of 9.46 points.
Brilliant. It was held in Dublin that year, by the looks of things. I cannot add much more to that.
Yeah, I don't. It's no walking on sunshine.
No. But I think. you could say that about most Katrina and the Waves songs. I almost said Conchita and the Waves, mixing my Eurovision moments up.
Amazing. I would consider the last great Eurovision song to be Bucks Fizz, Making Your Mind Up.
I mean, it's a classic. Also in Dublin, that one. You do well in Dublin. You need Ireland to win it.
Well, have you heard the thing about Ireland and Eurovision?
They've won it the most times of anybody. Is that what you're going to say?
They won it so many times that they had to deliberately stop winning it because it was costing them so much money to host the Eurovision.
I have heard that. Yes. I have come across that before. So 92, 93...
Which, of course, is how 94. Father Ted and Father Dougal came to compete.
Yeah. Naturally. No chance of winning with that, apparently. Yeah. Katrina and the Waves in 1997, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a long time. I was seven.
So was I.
Tony Blair had just come into, you know, Labour government, Tony Blair. Spice Girls were around.
I just moved back to Australia after living most of my infants and early years in Africa. So, yeah.
Kiss the rain. Sorry.
I'm not sure.
I sang Toto and I just don't think you heard me. And I've made it worse by pointing
out. I just heard the very end of it. Toto Africa is something of a soundtrack to my life at the moment. One of my classes I teach find it hilarious that if I walk into the room every time they're playing Toto Africa, particularly the keyboard solo, they seem to think is amazing because it has these spread chords in it, which just wow them every time.
That's hilarious.
They're very easily pleased in many ways.
that's incredible. I get it stuck in my head on regular occasion because I have a housemate that uses Lynx Africa.
Have you got a housemate who's 15 years old?
Maybe.
I don't know. I'd maybe take that out. Don't tell him I said that.
I don't think he listens.
Lynx is like what teenage boys wear, in my mind.
Well, in my mind, it's what teenage boys on the school bus used to make flamethrowers out of.
Yeah, they do that as well because they think that the way to smell nice is to spray so much of it over you that someone else chokes by sitting next to you.
Oh, no, literally, on my school bus, they used to spray it and then set fire to the...
No, we used to do that as well, but the reason we hadn't to do that was because we were also spraying copious amounts of it on our body, or on our blazer, normally.
The girl equivalent was Impulse.
I bow to your superior experience of feminine fragrances.
Yeah.
All I know is that I used to wear Lynx Pulse, and... I once was walking down a corridor and a girl coming that way says, "It smells like boys," came up to me and says, "Are you wearing Pulse?" And I felt like, as a 15-year-old, that the Lynx adverts had been affirmed at that moment, although that was the end of our conversation. She then left, so.
Oh, that's really sweet.
But I felt good about myself.
Oh. Yeah. It doesn't work with grown-up women.
No, doesn't work at all with grown-up women.
No.
That's why I don't wear Lynx anymore.
It's a fair point. So, Bucks Fizz.
Bucks Fizz. Good.
Which I have to be very careful about which way around I say it, because we have a running joke in my family about swapping over the first letters.
Are you a natural spoonerizer?
Yes.
Oh dear, oh dear. Yes, so, be careful with this one.
Be careful with this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think makes the Bucks Fizz Making Your Mind Up so great?
I mean, it's just cheese, isn't it? It's such a cheesy song.
Cheese, that's what I'd have at my Eurovision spread.
Yeah, you'd have to have cheese at your Eurovision. It's just cheese all over the place.
And because I had My Lovely Horse there, I would need the cheese that you use to hide a tiny horse. Mascarpone. You didn't see that one coming.
that one was not obvious at all.
Snuck in. Yeah, it is pure cheese.
It is pure cheese. I think it also speaks to a sort of delightful naivety at the end of the 70s and the beginning of the 80s, because it's 1980, isn't it, Bucks Fizz? And the idea that, oh, ripping a long skirt off to reveal a short skirt is a little bit risque.
Hey, I do that at all parties now.
Yeah, anyway.
That way,
No, I know, it
just in,
just.
hey, shorter skirt.
Yeah. It's very sweet and endearing almost. I mean, they're clearly picked to do a slightly corny dance routine. And I think the best thing on that video, well, there's a lot of good things on that video, but I love Terry Wogan being all serious on the TV presenter in it. Yeah.
Hey, Rogan.
It's in his home country presenting.
Scott Chegg Milnes.
Oh. Yeah.
Sorry,
Yeah.
just to derail it again.
Yeah.
Oh, you seem really disappointed by that one.
You know what? I'm just going to have copious amounts of ketchup on everything. No. No.
No.
Lost ketchup? No. No.
Oh, they weren't Eurovision.
Were they not? I swear they were. They
No,
sound like
it's
they should
just
have been.
Europop. That
Europop.
has a dance routine.
I thought they did something. Was there like a ketchup song in Eurovision?
Yeah, not in Eurovision, but the ketchup song goes, I said a hey, aha, a hey. And nobody really knows why it goes like that.
Thought that was in Eurovision. Oh, I'm feeling
I
really
think.
disappointed now.
Right, what are your predictions for Eurovision? I haven't watched any of the warm-up shows because I
No, I
don't want
didn't
to
see the
spoil it for
semi-finals.
myself.
I haven't seen the
That was
semi-finals.
deliberate. I like to see it all fresh on Saturday night. We're going to release this Saturday morning.
So I'll be watching it, like
So.
I said, Sunday night with a media blackout beforehand, because I'll be travelling to holiday in Cornwall on Saturday itself. No, I won't. Yes. Something like that. Anyway.
Predictions. I think there's going to be at least one staging with somebody randomly ice skating.
Yep. There'll certainly be somebody who is playing a pointless made-up instrument that doesn't actually make any sound. It's just a prop, effectively. I'm thinking the ridiculous circular piano from a couple of years back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Someone who randomly has an opera singer in the background.
I'm trying to think about, the little clips you get in between songs. So we'll have a lot of sort of sprawling alpine vistas, obviously.
I didn't mention the best things because this is in Austria.
Yeah, Austria.
And my favourite snack from Austria is Mozart Kugeln.
Yes, that's a good call.
Or Mozart's balls.
Yep, I was going to leave it at Mozart's Kugeln, but yeah, Mozart balls are fantastic. I really like them.
Which are marzipan and chocolate. And I met someone from Austria the other week, and I embarrassed myself in two ways. First of all, he introduced himself as Wolfgang, and then went, it's not a very Austrian name. And I went, oh, I don't know, Mozart. And he looked at me like no one had ever said that to him before. And I had to go, Wolfgang Amadeus. So that was the first one. If you're Austrian and called Wolfgang, surely everyone's saying Mozart at you.
Yeah.
And
Or
then he
Wolfie,
produced
if they've watched
Mozart's
that horrible
balls.
film.
And I got really excited. And it was at an international event. I just kept on going over to their table to steal some. And in the end, he gave me like a lot of the leftover ones.
He
Because he
obviously
was just.
recognised the connoisseur.
But he was like, you know, we have really nice sausage, we have this, we have that. And it's like, no, I'm just here for the marzipan.
I might actually cook schnitzel with noodles. I've tried it once and it's not a good combination. There's a reason the Austrians don't eat it, I think.
Schnitzel with noodles. I have a great dream, which I share with my friend, which is that we will go. We tried to get tickets to Eurovision, but they sold out because Conchita Wurst so popular and also a really great victory in terms of LGBT representation. Well, specifically T representation. So we couldn't get tickets, but what we want to do is go to Austria and just run up hills and do the Sound of Music tour.
I
And we've
was
been planning it since we were teenagers.
very briefly in Austria last year.
Did you run up a hill?
I went up a hill to a castle. I didn't run, but it was very beautiful. I just visited a town. I had a coffee, visited a castle. I stopped in Liechtenstein on the same day as well.
Liechtenstein,
Yeah.
which was always an
Liechtenstein.
answer on a pub quiz that I used to go to every week.
It's a country which, when written all in capitals, none of them can be coloured in. I remember that from a pub quiz I went. What, there's only three in the world that that's true for, and Liechtenstein is one of them.
It's also a doubly landlocked
Yep,
country.
along with Uzbekistan. Boom, geography
Yeah,
knowledge.
Liechtenstein. We were doing predictions before I got
Predictions.
sidetracked by
Yes,
Mozart.
so pointless prop that's pretending to be a musical instrument. Some ice skating, opera singer,
Adjustable costume, so either it does pull away or it grows with them. So they're suddenly up in the air and there's this big long dress.
Last year's hosts tried to make some really, really, really terrible jokes, which at one point verged on the slightly racist, as I recall. I feel like the
Oh, the
Austrians will.
oh, is that racist moment? That's key for Eurovision.
So I feel the Austrians may be slightly more refined in their hosting than last year.
I think still there's going to be humour that we don't understand.
I'm trying to think. Will there be a song which sings in a million languages just to try and get votes from everywhere? I don't think so. I think people are over that.
I think using, oh, to use a technical music term, ethnography from their own country, so traditional music.
Yes. Or traditional Polish women doing traditional Polish tasks in a traditional Polish way.
Yes.
One sticks
In
with me.
terms of points roundup, a presenter, a local TV presenter, using this as their moment to try and make it big.
I'm just wondering if the Dutch will have their extremely excitable guy on again, because he always
Oh.
makes the night for me with his basically gonna just bulldoze over everything the host tried to do to control the show, and I think
And gr
he's stoned most of the time. Sorry, that's a second drugs reference on your podcast. You might want to cut it out.
that's I will check the iTunes guidance, but I think it's mainly to do with if you swear.
Well, I'm good at not doing that. I'm thinking probably an Eastern European country, Moldova, maybe springs to mind, doing something that's in their own language, and the subtitles translate literally, so we have no idea what they actually mean, because they use all these sort of phrases which have sort of second meanings in their language, but we just get the literal translations and have no clue.
Like, my heart is full, like pig bladder in moon.
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah, we can pick out that that's supposed to mean something poetic in their language, but it doesn't carry over to English.
A country that tries to replicate an existing kind of artist. Like, I'm thinking of Satellite that won a few years ago. She was German, and she kind of did it in a Lily Allen Kate Nash voice.
Yeah. Didn't she enter 2 years in a row, that German
Yeah, she
girl?
didn't win the second year.
Yeah. She just tried to defend her title. Seems an
Yeah.
odd thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think those are my predictions.
I've not got any more springing to mind.
Cool. I think we've covered most things.
And a lot more that we didn't need to cover.
A lot that's not Eurovision based. It's
Yeah.
been lovely to do an episode that's a little bit different. Maybe if this goes well, we will do something again in the future. If people like, they can follow the show. You can follow the show at Symphony Snack on Twitter. We tweet bad puns, snacks that I've had that I've put terrible puns to, mainly pastries that I've been eating in the morning. I came up with a great one the other day. Telemanchego.
Yeah. I'm not surprised anymore, to be honest. I'm just disappointed.
That's what the Twitter feed is. If you like the show, please give us a review on not on Twitter. Please give us a review on iTunes. We would really like to have some reviews on there. Like us on iTunes. You can follow me personally on at LA Harrison Music. I tweet about music projects that I'm working on and brownies. Because I'm a brownie leader and we go and we do fun things. That's my Twitter. Jono, can people follow you?
They can. I am at Jono Firth, Jono with no H in it, because it's shortened from Jonathan, JonoFirth. I tweet very irregularly, but when I do, it's normally about music that I've written, and where you can hear it. So, and
Cool.
I will also tweet about cricket and cars from time to time.
Cricket and cars. God, you're so Australian.
Pretty much, yeah. Although I like cars in a sort of racing sense rather than just as objects, so.
Awesome. That's all we have time for. I feel we've gone on far too long about in this special edition sequins and snacks.
Yay,
Yeah.
sequins.
I'm going to wear so much glitter during Eurovision. Super psyched. What Eurovision classic should we use to see us out?
Oh, could you get up? We are the winners of Eurovision. Go right back to the beginning and my greatest memory.
I think we will finish with "We Are the Winners of Eurovision" from 2003. Thank you very much for listening.
We are, we are, we are, we are. So you better vote.